Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to another video. We want to encourage people to continue to let God be real. I was reading something just on Prayer School Live. If you'd like to know what that's about, years ago, I used to do prayer and healing school at the Kenneth Hagin Ministries from the year 1994 to 2004. And helping me was Leanne Merrill at the time, now Leanne Soseby. And we did prayer school together for 10 years. And then she went on to do another 15 years. So we got together, and now it's been over a year, and we've been doing Prayer School Live. You can go to prayerschoollive.com to find out about it on Monday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're on there praying in the Holy Ghost, sharing wonderful tidbits and just secrets about prayer, just finding God, getting a team of people to pray in this last day for what God desires to take place in the earth. Well, as we were sharing some things on the show, I was taking some thoughts from John Lake. And one of the things he began to say is he went back to 1900s to 1906 and said the Holy Ghost was poured out with such great power in that day, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said even a man like John Alexander Dowie rode on that wave of healing power and made his church become healing only, and it almost dried up. He said others made their church become the baptism only, and it about dried up. Some made it tongues only, and it about dried up. Others made it holiness only, and it about dried up. He said, was there anything wrong with the experience? No, not at all. Had God left? Of course not. But what had happened? People became too engrossed in the phenomena, and they forgot about God. Well, that's exactly why I want to share some of these thoughts with you, because I believe in this last move that we've had through the Word of Faith, and even through some of the wonderful experiences of the Holy Ghost with laughing, that people have got so engrossed in their study of the Bible, or laughing in the Spirit and being drunk in the Spirit, or running and dancing and shouting, that they forgot that the whole thing and everything that we're experiencing is just the tip of the iceberg to experience God. So that's why I keep saying, let God come off of your Bible and get back into your life. Amen. So we want God to be tangible in your life, for you to receive answers to your prayers, and then for you to be able to share those wonderful testimonies with others. So let's go right away to our favorite verse there, Message Bible, Matthew 11, 27 to 30, that says, and Jesus resumed now talking to the people, but yet tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, you know, we've been sharing some things this last session about going back to actually some things we shared in the first 10 videos that we had. We've been sharing some things about acknowledgement, acknowledging God. Everywhere you go, God wants to be with you, and he is with you, and he wants to be noticed. He wants you to become aware of him, and he certainly wants you to invite him to be a part of everything you do. So there's something very important about this, letting God become real to you in everything you do. Now, we gave a statement that I want to go ahead and clarify. We talked about how that people get lost in the wonderments of Jesus. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can tell people are just, oh, glory, hallelujah, God is so good, you know, praise the Lord, and just worshiping the Lord. And that's all wonderful and good. But again, remember, God wants to be practical, and he wants to be applied to every area of your life. So it's not about going to a worship center and worshiping God for a few moments and going back out into your life and living the life that you live when you're not in the church. It's about letting God become real in every single thing you do. It's kind of like, and you've heard this testimony before, the young lady that received a healing in her elbow up there in Newtown, Connecticut years ago, and God touched her. Now, I didn't know so. So as I was walking to the door to leave, and I was coming up on the foyer and hadn't yet entered into it, she was coming from another direction and we met. And I said to her, well, did you get anything tonight? Did anything make sense to you? And she said, yes, I was the one that received healing in that elbow for the tennis elbow. And then she said, kind of with a little scowl on her face, she said, but I have a question. I said, what's your question? She said, well, it started to hurt again. Do you know why? And without even thinking, I said, yes. And the next thing that came out of my mouth was, it's because you're close to the door that leads to the outside. And she said, what does the door have to do with it? I said, well, you're getting ready to go back to the life where you have pain and where there's difficulty and where you got this pain in the first place. And you've already switched into that person instead of staying in this place, in this mindset that I am a child of God and I don't ever have to have pain another day in my life. And she looked at me, she said, oh my goodness, that is so good. And I thought to myself, because I didn't actually think that up, I thought that is really good too. And the next thing I said to her was, the next thing that happened is she began to laugh. And when I inquired, she said, the pain already disappeared. And I said, do I need to say anything? And she said, absolutely not. I got it. Who I am with God is the same in this room, this church, and outside where I live. And I said, that's it. And you'll never have to have pain again. That's what I mean, folks. We get caught worshiping and just being, all caught up into how wonderful he is, and sometimes a little spacey, you know. Oh, God is so good. At the same time, then, do you allow him to work in your finances? Do you allow him to work on your job? Do you include him when you do laundry? Do you speak to him and do you hear him speak to you? Are you getting your prayers answered? Because if not, you can get lost in the wonderments of God and Jesus and yet miss the grace of God. This is why it's so important that Jesus, you know, when he was talking in Matthew chapter 6, and he made some comments like, have you seen the birds lately? Have you paid attention to the wildflowers? He wasn't just saying that birds and wildflowers are the key to actually getting to heaven. No, he's drawing your attention to the fact that everywhere you go and anywhere you go, if you'll pay attention, you can find grace. Grace, God's influence upon the world, God's influence upon your life, God's influence upon someone else's life. You can find grace everywhere. And if you're looking, you'll find it. It's kind of like how we've come into the age where, of course, texting is not necessarily a desired thing to do while you're in the car, especially if you're the one driving. What happens if you're looking at your phone? You're not looking at the road. Well, I know it's going to be tough to say, but I'm just going to go there. You can get lost in Bible reading. You can get lost in Bible studying. You can get lost even in praying in other tongues, quoting the scriptures, making your confessions, and still miss Jesus the greatest majority of the day. We're wanting to pay attention to the smallest of little things where Jesus is real to us. Can you say amen to that? I love this over in John 14, 11 to 15. And it says in the Message Bible, believe me, I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. Notice when Jesus was questioned about who he was, he always brought everything back to the works. In other words, the things that were accomplished through his relationship with the Father bore witness that he had a relationship with the Father. In other words, isn't there a scripture that Jesus said something about, you'll know them by their what? Fruits? Yes. What are your fruits? It's your testimonies. What are your testimonies? It is your eyewitness account and experience of God's influence in your life, so much so that it has brought change to the outer life and to the world around you. And you can tell of those testimonies. It can be simple, little things. Like one of my friends sent this in. I was getting into my car after shopping one afternoon when I was reminded that my daughter had sent me a gift card for coffee. My thoughts went back and forth about going to get a coffee because I had one in the AM. I had a sense I should go, even though I really didn't feel like it. Let's see. Long story short, I met a very depressed woman in tears sitting outside. She invited me to sit with her and began to share her woes. She didn't know anything about her Jewish religion or Jesus. I was able to share the gospel, pray with her, give her a Bible. As I handed her the Bible, she said, "You would really give that to me?" I said, "Yes, it's a gift from Jesus who loves you very much." You know, some of you are thinking, could that be grace? The very fact that you were willing to be beyond your world and invest in God's thoughts towards another, you don't think that's influence from heaven? Because if there was influence from hell, what would you do? You might curse her or talk about her the whole way home. Oops. Should we have said that? Come on, think about this. The influences of negativity and the positive reinforcement of God's victory and love, his ability to conquer and his authority is around us at all times. It's in the atmosphere. God is everywhere, and you can find him if you're actually looking. These are some really wonderful thoughts, and some of the reasons why we share these things is to stir you up, because Jesus even went on to say, "Greater work shall you do because I go unto my Father." Well, if Jesus was magnifying, the relationship that he had with the Father by showing the works, and the works declared him, and the Father declared the works, and then he went on to say, "You'll even do greater works than these." What is he saying? But the relationship with the Father shall even be just as intimate and even more so. When I am with him, I will send the Holy Spirit. You know, these are wonderful thoughts, and that's why I always start out with Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible, because it does bring you to the realization that Jesus was never keeping his thoughts, his relationship, his works, the fruit, the results of the Spirit to himself. He wanted everybody, if they were willing, to experience it. And isn't it interesting when he says, "I'm ready to give it to anyone who's willing to receive it." The very next thing he said is, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" Isn't it interesting? The first thing he did was he went to the negative to say, "Have you had enough of that? Well, then let go of it and come with me. And you'll begin to experience my Father just like I experience him. You'll begin to see fruit just like I do. You'll see my Father everywhere, and you'll be attached to him to the degree that what you say will be what you hear him say, what you do will be what you see him do, and the fruit thereof will declare that you are in him and he is in you, and together we have been united through that precious blood." Come on, when we talk about these things, folks, the blood of Jesus, the redemption, all these big words that we say that make people want to get up and dance and shout and praise the Lord, hallelujah. All of that is so you can have a very normal, very regular, very natural, everyday experience with God that blows the world away when they see the results of what it looks like to have a relationship. Wow, this has been really good. I'm working better on my time here, so I think this is a whole lot better. I think we're right at about 14 minutes, which is, I hit my mark. That's really great. But I can't wait to see you again, to go further in the grace of God. The grace is God's influence in your life. Well, you can go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe. I don't care if we have a million subscribers or if we have one. I'm just saying it's easier when you subscribe to be able to get all the videos, because you want to go back to the beginning ones. That's why we've touched a little bit of some of what we started with, so that we can do a little bit of recovery here and bring you into remembrance. So YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, subscribe, or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and you can follow us. Otherwise, JimHockaday.com is where you go for our website. And please, like my friend who sent in a grace testimony, I am asking you, I'm not begging you, but if you need me to, in a sense, I might a little, send in your testimonies. That's what this is all about, so that people can hear the little nuances of how you relate to God and God relates to you, that opens all of our minds to a greater experience with God. You can go to jhmi at jimhockaday.com, which you'll find on our website, which is our email. Write in, let us know those grace stories. We'll see you next time. God bless you.